This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that none has the right of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, to grant us His mercy and His kindness, to accept from us this waqt of Jumu'ah. All the good that we do during this time, may it be accepted by Allah. May Allah forgive us for the sins of last week and guide us the next week with a light from this Jumu'ah. And we send our greetings, our salutations, our love to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his perfect and pure family, to his companions, and to all those upon his, from his ummah that follow his sunnah until the end of time. May we be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We continue our series, the series of Tawheed. And this is part 7 in the series that we've been discussing with regards to Tawheed. And we said, of course, that the most important aspect of the deen is Tawheed. That it is the basis on which people will go to Jannah or Jahannam. Everything else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive. But with regards to Tawheed, Allah does not compromise. Allah does not forgive if any bit of Tawheed, any act of worship is given to someone other than Him. And we said clearly that the purpose of the Quran, the message of the Quran, and the reason why every Nabi was sent was for what? To call the people, ani'budullah, worship Allah alone. Make sure that your worship is correct. And we said this series is for every single person to evaluate, is my worship correct? Am I worshipping Allah in a manner which he is pleased with? Because if he's not pleased with my worship, it could be shirk. And this is the one thing Allah does not forgive. We spoke about the importance of Tawheed and the dangers of shirk. And we spoke about shirk that is commonly practiced and sometimes ignored by many Muslims. When we think of shirk, many people imagine shirk is just bowing to a statue. That is shirk. Or going and worshipping Jesus. That is shirk. It's types of shirk. But there are types of shirk more that we are more exposed to that might we even fall into. Wa'iyadu billah. We spoke about superstition and the belief in omens and false prophecies. We spoke about wearing ta'weez or azimats or talismans for protection. And this is from the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that this is a way, and it's a way of falling into shirk. Ascribing power to certain objects or places of having been bad luck, or a certain date, a certain month being bad luck. This is a form, a means of shirk, and a means by which people fall into shirk. We spoke about the extreme veneration of the graves of awliya and of pious people. To make the graves a place of worship, which goes against the hadith where the Prophet says, do not take my grave as a musalla, a masjid, a place of ascribing divinity to the cemetery or to the graves. Believing that the grave is a source of protection, that Cape Town is protected because of the awliya. This is not correct. This is because Allah is the only one that protects. We said shirk is what? When you give that which belongs to Allah to someone else. Only Allah is the one that protects. Not a string, not beads, not graves, not sand. These things are partners you are making with Allah's protection. Asking the dead directly for assistance and help, that they have the power to heal and to forgive. We said this is major shirk. And we have to pause here with regards to the graves of awliya. Some people have asked me, are we saying that we shouldn't visit the graves of the awliya? We shouldn't visit graves at all? We should remove them? No, not at all. Visiting the graves is part of our ibadah. It's worship. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, worship, visit the graves. A few weeks before he passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the shuhada at the Battle of Uhud, and he visited the cemetery at Baqi, making dua for them. We said we make dua for the dead and not to the dead. We don't ask the dead for anything. And the graves of our pious awliya, without a doubt, these are places that must be respected and must be maintained and must be, you know, it's part of our culture and our history, and we should know how Islam got here and we follow their example, but we don't worship them. And the best example is the difference between us and the Nasara with regards to Nabi Isa. We love him, we follow him, we revere him and his mother, but we don't worship them. And we don't believe that they are partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference. And this is, must not be confused. It doesn't mean that if you don't worship the awliya, that you don't respect them or don't love them. Rather, you are showing that this is their message and their teachings, that worship belongs to Allah alone. And we said that the cemetery should not be a place of worship. The graveyard is not a place for dhikr. The masjid is a place of salah and the home. We spoke last week about tawassul, asking a dead person to ask for us. And we said the difference between the two, if you ask the dead person directly to forgive you, everyone agrees it's a shirk. But what about asking a dead person to ask Allah on my behalf? And we spoke at length last week about how this goes against the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, once you die, khalas, you cannot make any further dua. Once you are in the grave, you cannot make dua for yourself. We know this. Once you die, once I die, once you die, you can no longer make ibadah. For yourself, how is it then that you make dua for others, the living? And we said that shirk began through the veneration of pious saints and looking to get closer to them. Remember, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab believed in Allah. But the idols, they said, these things are our intercessors. Surah Zumar, هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا. That they are our intercessors. They ask Allah on our behalf. And we only take them to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was shirk. So we spoke about these things. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about shafa'ah. Shafa'ah, which is intercession. Another area which people get confused about. Shafa'ah is an area which people get confused about. Shifa'ah means to heal. We're not talking about shifa'ah, but Allah granted you shifa'ah means to heal. Shafa'ah is intercession. Intercession means someone comes up and mediates on your behalf. So you've done something wrong, and someone comes and he stands in your favor to be a witness or to be a supporter. Maybe if you give an example in the dunya, you know, you've done something wrong, your boss is angry with you, so someone comes and speaks on your behalf to mitigate the anger, to mitigate the judge, his anger, his penalty. So this is called shafa'ah. And people have made shafa'ah incorrectly. They say, and we know, that because the Prophet ﷺ will intercede on behalf of his ummah, we know this, and we'll talk about the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ at length today, inshallah, that because he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has the right of intercession, we therefore ask him to intercede. We say, Ya Rasulullah, intercede for me on Qiyamah. Ya Rasulullah, I beg you, I plead to you, intercede. This is incorrect. Because we have now, and we'll see, we are given something which belongs to Allah, to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will intercede, but the right to allow intercession belongs to Allah. Allah is, Man dhalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'ithni. Who can intercede, Allah says in Ayatul Kursi, except with my permission. So only Allah has the right to grant the permission of intercession. And therefore only Allah can be asked for intercession to be done on you. Okay, so let's talk about this issue of shafa'ah in detail. As I said, shafa'ah means to mediate for someone else to gain some benefit or ward off some harm. And shafa'ah can be two types. Shafa'ah in the dunya and shafa'ah in the akhirah. Naturally, our discussion is here about the akhirah. But let's talk a bit about the dunya. You need something. You are in trouble or you need something, so you have a connection, as they say. You have someone who can make it easy for you. Can you use this? Can you take the shortcut? Can you take someone to intercede on your behalf? It's permissible so long as the thing that you're doing is not haram, or is not usurping the rights of someone else, or is not cheating. So for example, if you have, there's a queue, and you know the guy in front, it's haram for you to jump that queue for no reason. What about all the people behind you? You can't take that kind of intercession or that intermediary. Not shirk, but this is like cheating. And the Prophet says, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." Whoever cheats us is not from me. You know the guy who is in charge of in the bank? He can't change the numbers in your favor. It's haram. And a good example of this kind of mediation, which is haram, was in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the well-known hadith of Usama. Who is Usama? Usama, the son of Zayd, the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama, who was called Hibbun Nabi, the beloved of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama, one of the last people to be alive, or to see the Prophet alive. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, he tells the Sahaba, a month or so before he passes away, he tells the Sahaba, "You know that Zayd was very dear to me, and Usama is similarly very dear to me. These are the most beloved people to me." So Usama, everyone knew he had a special place in his heart, the Prophet ﷺ, for Usama. So a lady stole. She's a rich, wealthy, prominent, influential lady, she stole. And they caught her. So the penalty is her hand must be removed. This is the penalty of the Sharia. They said, "How can we cut off the hand of this? She's a well-to-do lady. She's a, you know, big lady in the community. We can't do this." Ask Usama to speak to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to relax the law. So they asked Usama to make shafa'ah for her. And they asked Usama why? Because Usama is beloved to the Nabi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt a soft spot for Usama. So Usama came and spoke to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on behalf of this lady. "Ya Rasulullah, you know, don't practice the law on her, but break the laws for her, because she's a special lady." And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what happened? Became so upset that the vein that he would have here on his forehead would throb, and he became very upset with Usama. And he says, "Ya Usama, do you know that the people before us, they were destroyed because of something like this? When the rich and the famous and the powerful committed sin, then the government did not punish them. But when the layman on the street, he committed a sin, then the law was strict on them. Then they would punish them according to the law. So wallahi, even if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, had to steal, I would remove her hand. That the law, there's no favorites in this religion. The law is applied equally to rich and poor, to the Sahaba and the big Sahaba and the small Sahaba. Even the family of the Prophet ﷺ is bound by the law. So this kind of intercession is haram. You cannot intercede in something which is haram. But if it's something permissible, no problem. Someone can help another brother out, no problem, alhamdulillah, in the dunya. But our discussion in terms of tawheed is with regards to the intercession of the akhirah. Meaning, who is going to stand up for you on qiyamah? Not against Allah, but in front of Allah on your behalf. All of us, except the very special few, will have to stand before Allah and have to answer for our deeds. And we'll be in a courtroom, like the courtroom where our good and our bad will be shown to us. At that moment in time, before or after Allah sentences us for our deeds, Allah will permit others to intercede on our behalf. Shafa'ah. It's part of our belief. And let's discuss this. The intercession of the akhirah, there are many stages of intercession. But we can broadly split intercession into two categories. I'm talking in akhirah. So if you think about it, I said intercession, two types. Dunya and akhirah. Then the akhirah is further split into two types. The grand or the maqam mahmood, the special intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, and the general intercession on qiyamah. So let's talk about al-maqam al-mahmood, or the grand intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, the great intercession. In the long hadith that we know, that when qiyamah occurs, meaning people will be resurrected out of their graves, all of insan will be resurrected. This period between resurrection and judgment is a long period. And it's the most difficult period on qiyamah. There will be punishment at that time, there will be the sun brought low, and people will stand like this for Allah alone knows how many, Allahu Akbar, how long this will be. To such an extent that the people will become agitated and frustrated. And they will be in such desperation that they will ask the Anbiya to ask Allah to begin Qiyamah. They want the judgment to start. That, when I say they, I mean us. May Allah protect us. Right? We will all be there. And this is the point when the Anbiya themselves will say, "We are too scared, we haven't seen Allah like this." So we know all the long hadith. They'll go to Nabi Adam and say, "Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, you are our father. Allah created you with his hands. You have a special place with Allah. Speak to Allah." And Nabi Adam will say, "I committed the sin, I ate from the tree, and I have never seen my Rabb as angry as he is today. I've never seen Allah in a state like that. Nafsi, nafsi, myself. I can't think of you, my children. I only concerned about myself." But go to Nuh. And the people will run to Nabi Nuh and ask him that, "Ya Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam, you are the very first messenger sent to insan." Not the first prophet, but the first messenger sent by Allah Obviously, you have a high place with Allah, speak to Allah. And Nabi Nuh will say that I had one special dua. Allah gave me a special dua to use. What did I do with it? I destroyed my people with that dua. I made dua against my people. And you'll feel, I can't stand before Allah. Nafsi, nafsi. Go to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi Ibrahim, you are Khalilullah. You are the beloved friend of Allah. You have a special place with Allah, ya Ibrahim. Will you speak to Allah? And Nabi Ibrahim will say, I have never seen my Rabb as angry as he is today. And I told three lies in my life. And wallahi, they're not lies, but they were half-truths. When they asked him who broke the idols, so he said, ask the big one. When they asked him, come and worship with us, he said, Inni saqim, I'm sick. I don't want to worship with you. And when the king asked about, before he was going to execute him, who is this lady, meaning his wife? He said, it's my sister, not my wife. So he said, those three lies, I'm too scared to stand before Allah with those three lies. Nafsi, nafsi, go to Nabi Musa. Nabi Musa will say, go to Nabi Isa. Nabi Isa will say, go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know this hadith. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that every Nabi has this special dua. Nabi Nuh used it against his people. Nabi Musa, Nabi Sulaiman used it to control basically the jinn and the wind and all that. That was his dua. So the Sahaba asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is your dua that you've been given? Every Nabi has a special dua, a dua that won't be rejected. What is your dua? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I have not used it yet. I am keeping it for Qiyamah at this point in time. When the people will be so, not only the Muslims, but all of humanity will be in the worst of desperation, they will go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, you speak to Allah. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go to the Maqam al-Mahmud, which we make dua after the adhan. Ati Muhammad nusirat wa al-fidu wa ba'athu Maqam al-Mahmud al-Ladhi wa'adta. And grant him, you say, Ya Allah, grant the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the Maqam al-Mahmud, the position of praise. So there's a place under the throne of Allah called the Maqam al-Mahmud, a place where no one can come without permission. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will take his dua and he will then go to that place, the Maqam al-Mahmud. Allah will permit him to come there and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fall in sujood and he'll begin to praise Allah and worship Allah. For how long, Allah alone knows. And Allah will teach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam names and du'as and dhikrs that he never knew before. Special kind of adhkar that he will make while he's in sujood. And then Allah will say, Ya Muhammad, raise your head and ask, I will give you what you want. And intercede, I will accept your intercession. I give you permission to intercede now. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Ummati, ummati, my ummah. Every other Nabi said, Nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. Prophet says, my ummah, ya Allah, make it easy for my ummah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the result of this intercession? Number one, it will begin the questioning. Meaning the standing for Allah alone knows how long, under the sun, being, you know, with the sun low upon our heads, may Allah protect us, this standing of madness, Allah will then begin Qiyamah. This is the first thing the Prophet asked. And this will benefit everyone. And some scholars have even said, this point is even worse than Jahannam. Some scholars have even said. And then Allah will begin Qiyamah. Also, the Prophet ﷺ, of his intercessions, is that he will intercede and ask that Jannah be opened. So Jannah's doors are closed. And no one can enter Jannah before the Prophet ﷺ. So he will make a special dua. Let Jannah be opened, and let some of my ummah go to Jannah without being questioned. And the Prophet will accept that 70,000 of his ummah will enter Jannah before questioning. And this is a very special few. And we only know of one man in that group, being Ukasha, the Sahabi, radiallahu anhu. Ukasha is a Sahabi. He is in that 70,000. We don't know of anybody else besides Ukasha, radiallahu anhu. So Jannah will be opened and the people of Jannah will be allowed to enter it. Then there will be some people who are 50-50. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my intercession will especially basically help the people with major sins. And to understand this concept, Allah says, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرًا مِنَ الْإِثْمِ كَبَائِرًا مَا تَنْهَوْنَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. If you avoid the major sins, then Allah will forgive your minor sins. If you come to Allah on Qiyamah with only minor sins, Allah will wipe them away and enter you into Jannah directly. No Jahannam. But as for those who come to Allah with major sins, and you didn't make tawbah in the dunya, and Allah didn't forgive you in the dunya, now you're at the discretion of Allah. He can either forgive them and say, go to Jannah, I forgive you. Or Allah can assign a penalty for the murder you did, the zina you did, the khamr you drank, the drugs you took, X amount of punishment in Jahannam. The salah you missed, X amount of punishment in Jahannam. Nabi Sallam will intercede for these people. And some of them, they will have a penalty of Jahannam, then Allah will accept the intercession and enter them into Jannah. Not all of them, some of them. Some will be sent to Jannah, but Allah, through the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, will shorten that penalty. It's even, there's a hadith that says, even the kuffar will benefit in Jahannam. Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, his penalty in Jahannam will be made easier through the intercession of Nabi ﷺ. And some people who will go to Jahannam for very long, Nabi Sallallahu will continue to intercede on their behalf until Allah removes all of them from Jahannam. And in this long hadith in Bukhari, you find it, this is the summarized part, the Prophet ﷺ will come to Allah back and forth at least four times for the people of Jahannam, where Allah will say, fine, Ya Muhammad, I accept your intercession. Look to those in Jahannam who have the weight of a grain or a seed of Iman in their heart, take them out. And then Allah will say, look for those who have half a grain. Look for those who have a mustard seed. Look for those who have an atom's weight of iman, who did no good deeds, but the only thing they didn't do, look at this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them out one by one through the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the end Allah will say, O Lord, Nabi sallallahu will ask Allah, give me permission to bring out of Jahannam all those who said, La ilaha illallah. And Allah will say, by my might and my majesty and my supremacy and my greatness, I will certainly bring out of Jahannam all those who said, La ilaha illallah. Again, look at the importance of Tawheed. Those who did not commit shirk, no matter what sin they did, eventually Allah will forgive them and take them out. So long as they have La ilaha illallah, that they worship none besides Allah. Don't put this issue of worship at risk. Don't make go into risky ibadah, doubtful ibadah. Some scholars say it's permissible. Don't put yourself in that risk. Everyone who worships Allah correctly will exit Jahannam. Everyone from this hadith in Bukhari. I told a group of students over the weekend, alhamdulillah, here in South Africa, we have a good thing that we try, you know, this in general, food, we don't want to have doubtful food, right? Strict with our food. We don't want to have contaminated food. Don't contaminate your ibadah. Don't take the risk that this thing might be shirk, it might be bid'ah. Avoid those things and ask Allah directly. Because this hadith once again shows, Allah says, everyone who said La ilaha illallah and did not corrupt it with shirk will exit Jahannam. So this is the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. The special intercession, where only one man will be given that, meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then there are others who will be granted intercession. And this is quite interesting. Something we might not know. Something new you might learn. There will be general intercession. On Qiyamah, Allah will allow some to intercede that is not Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah will allow others to speak up. So, this man will stand before Allah. And Allah will judge this man. And then ask, now who's going to intercede on this man? Step forward, anyone who wants to defend this man. So Allah says, وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. And Allah says, and there are many countless angels in the sama whose intercession will avail nothing except of all after Allah has given permission for whom He wills and He is pleased with. Meaning, the angels are making shafa'ah on us. The angels are interceding, Ya Allah, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. And for some people, Allah will say, I will accept you to intercede on behalf of this man, but as for that man, don't intercede for him. I reject that intercession. I said, the permission of intercession is with Allah. So Allah can say, go ahead, intercede. Or Allah can say, no intercession for this person. So the angels will intercede. And we know special kind of people, of their reward, of the reward of the good deed they did, Allah will grant them the right of intercession. The martyrs will be able to intercede on behalf of their families. The Hafidh al-Quran, 10 people of his family, there's a hadith. Children who die before they are mukallaf. And this is of the most difficult things for a parent to go through when a child passes away. When a child passes away before they're mukallaf, obviously those children are in Jannah. But they will come before Allah and they will cling onto their parents and besieging Allah, dragging their parents and not letting go until Allah allows that child to take those parents to Jannah. So anyone who's lost a child, One of the tabi'een went to a sahabi and said, I've lost two sons. Don't you know a hadith which will soften this loss? So he gave him this hadith, that your children will come on Qiyamah and they will drag you to Jannah. So this is one of the people who are allowed to intercede. We know that your salah, your fasting and your Quran will intercede. Your good deeds will come and intercede on your behalf. And even the Muslim, as we say, the normal Muslim will have the right to intercede. Look at Allah, this is a beautiful hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, there is no Muslim who dies, and 40 men or 40 people who do not commit any shirk. Again, this concept of shirk is so important. He does not, 40, so this man dies, and 40 people who have not committed shirk make janazah salah on him. Allah will allow these 40 people to intercede for him on Qiyamah, to either lessen his punishment or to take him out and enter him into Jannah. That's why the scholars say, the first judgment you will get is on the dunya. When we die, the first people to judge are the people of the dunya. Before the qabr you are judged, before qiyamah, depending on your janazah salah, how you treated the people. And if you were a good person, inshallah, you see that massive janazah, people only have good things to say for you, it's already a good indication of what's to come. That when a person has a big janazah with good people standing behind him, making salah for him, asking Allah and dua for him, it's a good indication of his place in Jannah, inshaAllah. Therefore the scholars say, choose your friends in mind as to who will stand behind me when I die. Ask yourself, what kind of person do I want to have janazah salah made of me? I want that man to make janazah salah for me, the man who fasts, who gives charity. I want him to be at my janazah, be his friend. I don't want that man to be at my janazah, for XYZ, don't be his friend. Also Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, by Allah, by the one in whose hand my soul is, meaning by Allah, none of you can be more insistent in asking Allah to restore his rights against his opponent than the believers who will ask Allah on the day of resurrection for their brothers who are in the fire. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the people who will argue with Allah the most on Qiyamah, who will argue with Allah the most? Meaning the believers on account of their brothers. And they will say, our Lord, we fasted and they fasted. That man in Jahannam, I know him, he used to fast with me. And we performed Hajj together. Maybe that group you went with Hajj together. You said, ya Allah, you're rewarding me for Hajj, but that brother also went on Hajj. And he will plead on behalf of the brother on Qiyamah. And Allah, and Nabi says, no one will be more persistent than this kind of man. And it will be, then Allah will say to this man, so bring out those whom you recognize from Jahannam. Look in Jahannam. Do you see anyone that you know was a good person? Take them out of Jahannam. Take them out of Jahannam. And it is forbidden for them to burn them. So they will bring out many people. And look at the most beautiful thing. And Allah will say, so what is the conclusion of intercession? Prophet has interceded. The angels have interceded. Your good deeds have interceded. The martyrs and the huffad have interceded. Your children have interceded. Now your friends in the dunya have interceded. After all of that intercession, now Allah will say, the angels have interceded and the prophets have interceded and the believers have interceded. There is none left to intercede except the most merciful of those who show mercy. Meaning it's my turn now. Then he, Allah, will seize a handful from the fire and bring them forth from its people who had never did anything good. Allah will take out people so bad. They did every sin. Did nothing of good deeds. But they didn't commit shirk. And Allah will take them out of Jahannam. And then when that happens and Jahannam is closed, وَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ, Allah protect us. Closed forever. No one is getting out after that. May Allah protect us. So this is the idea of intercession on Qiyamah. And to summarize this, as I said, you have two types. The intercession of the dunya, the intercession in the akhirah. In the Akhirah, you'll have the great intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, and then you'll have the general intercession of anyone else, of those who Allah permits. How do we obtain intercession? Now this is the real crux of our talk. How do I get the Prophet to intercede for me? How do I get the angels to intercede for me? How do I get the Huffaz and the Shuhada? Firstly, be a Shaheed or be Hafiz, right? Then you're safe, right? Obviously, that's prize number one. But you get intercession not by asking the intercessor, not asking Jibreel intercede for me, not asking the man in the qabr, you are a Hafid al-Quran, put me on your list of 10 people, not asking the Prophet, ya Rasulullah, intercede for me. We know how to get the Prophet's intercession is the dua after the adhan. And look at this. If you look at this dua, who are we asking? Are we asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or Allah? You say, Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati at-tama. Oh Allah, Lord of this call, meaning the Adhan, the Rabb of this Adhan. So we are asking you, Ya Allah, not asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Lord of the established Salah, meaning the Lord of Salah. O Allah, the one to whom Adhan and Salah belongs to. Who does it belong to? Allah alone. O Allah, we ask you. Ati Muhammad, O Allah, you give permission to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give him the maqam al-wasilata wal-fadila. We're asking two things. Ya Allah, give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasila and fadila, and the maqam mahmood al-ladhi wa'adda, and grant him the position of mahmood maqam. So what are these two things? Wasila and fadila, not two ladies, right? Wasila and fadila. So you're asking, Ya Allah, Lord of Salah, Lord of the Adhan, give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasila and fadila, and grant him the mahmood alladhi wa'adda, the place of intercession. We spoke about the mahmood, maqami mahmood, we spoke about intercession. As for wasila and fadila, this is the highest level of firdaus. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in Jannah there are levels, the number one level is firdaus. That level, in that hadith we mentioned a few weeks ago, that Allah says, there are four things I created with my hand. The pen, the arsh, Adam. And as for Firdaus, Allah planted the trees in Firdaus with His own hands in a manner which befits His majesty. Meaning Allah Himself interior decorated that Jannah. And the highest place of Firdaus is Wasila and Fadila. Like the Clifton or the Bishop's Court of Firdaus is Wasila and Fadila. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, only one man will get there. And I hope it will be me. So make dua that Allah gets me there. So part of Nabi Sallam getting there, even with Allah's mercy and His great rewards, Prophet Sallam, what also helps him is the dua of me and you to get him there. SubhanAllah, look at this. That we are making dua, Ya Allah, put Muhammad Sallam there and then let him intercede for us on Qiyamah. Beautiful. That Nabi Sallam, and we know, inshallah, if anyone deserves it, it will be him. And we believe, we said, that even though we won't get there, we will get to visit that place on Jumu'ah, when all the people of Jannah will go to this place under the arsh of Allah, and Allah will show Himself to the people of Jannah. So to conclude, our concluding remarks on this lecture in terms of Shafa'ah. We believe in Shafa'ah and categorically, proven per the Quran and the Sunnah. We believe that there are those who can intercede with Allah. But intercession will not save the people of Shirk. Even the people of Shirk, even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not save Abu Talib, because of his shirk. Again, shows you, no one can speak to Allah with regards to the mushrikeen. We know we can't make dua for them once they die. Stay away from shirk. It just shows you, again and again, the dangers of shirk. And none can intercede except Allah's permission. Of the rights of Allah, is He can give intercession only to those whom He wants. And you can only get intercession by asking Allah, and not the intercessor. Very important. We ask Allah, Ya Allah, give me to be included in the intercession of the Prophet, of the angel, of the angels, of the pious people. Let me be included. Ya Allah, only You can put my name on that list. And to grant intercession belongs to Allah alone, and to ask someone other than Allah for intercession is an act of shirk. So avoid it, inshaAllah, and stick to the sunnah by making your dua after the adhan, and don't ever miss out the dua after the adhan, because you don't want to be left out on the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Qiyamah. Jazakallah khair. Just a few announcements. We continue with our seerah. It's about just before 7 o'clock, about quarter to 7, until Maghrib Salah on Tuesday evenings. And then alhamdulillah, we have a wonderful course coming up, starting the 7th of March. So Tuesday evenings, from after Maghrib on Tuesday evening. So we have our seerah class before Maghrib, and after Maghrib we have a class closer than a garment. It's with regards to a marriage course. April is coming up, a lot of public holidays, a lot of weddings coming up. People have asked, can you give us a marriage crash course? We don't intend to crash by that course, but inshallah, it's open to both married people and people who would like to get married. Think, you know, how do you select a spouse? How did the Prophet live as a married man? What are the laws, the rights of the wife, the rights of the husband? What do we do when there's conflict? What about intimacy? A bit of an age restriction here, inshallah. But all welcome. and it will be held at our nursery school, at the Burhanul House Nursery School, just around the corner. And that box of pomegranates there, please take one. It's from the nursery school. There are trees there that are older than the school, over 100 years, and it bears fruit. SubhanAllah, one man put a seed in there. Until today, he's getting ajr in his qabr because of that pomegranate. So take, it's free of charge, but that's where the course will be presented by Mawlana Ashik and myself, inshallah. And then another announcement. This is for, if you know anyone in Johannesburg, on the 11th and 12th of March, there's a course on the Prophet ﷺ, from birth to death. 2 days you can learn all about the Nabi ﷺ, what he looked like, what his favorite foods were, how he spent his day, how was he as a husband. It's called Al-Mustafa. It's an international course. Anyone who's in Johannesburg or you know who's in Johannesburg, please, you know, you're welcome to join. It's at the Wits University. It's the 11th and 12th of March. It's open to the Cape Townians if you're willing to travel with me all the way there. Inshallah, please spread the word. And then any comments or anything you'd like to discuss, westmuhammad@gmail.com. Jazakallah khair wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Salamun mursaleen, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.